If you'll turn in your Bibles, that way you'll close your mouth to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. Can you hear me? Well, we have had some really good preaching so far. Amen? And you know what? If you look at the schedule, we're going to have a whole bunch of really good preaching still coming up. In the meantime, sandwich right in the middle, you got me. So, at least you got some good on the front and on the back. In James chapter 4, I want to begin over in verse 14. The King James Bible says, "Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." Your life is just like a tea kettle with steam coming out. You see the steam, you see the physical action of the hot of the water boiling, and the steam comes out, and then what? It just vanisheth. And the Bible says that's what your life is. So my question to you today is, are you doing the work? Are you doing the work? Brother Jane was just talking about that we're in the ministry. So let me ask you a question. Are only the preachers in this room, are only they supposed to be following Paul? Are you sure? Now, they are supposed to follow Paul, right? What about everybody else? So all of us are supposed to follow Paul. So let me ask you, are you doing the work? Because James says that our life is but a vapor. It's here, and then it's gone. Am I getting too close? Look at Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Now, you said it's not just the preacher's job to follow Paul. So we're going to put that to a test today, and we're going to see if we really believe that. You know, one time someone told me, you know, I'd love to play the piano, or I'd love to be able to play the piano. And I said, no, you don't. They said, yes, I would. I would love to be able to play the piano. I said, you're a liar. And they go, what are you talking about? Well, are you taking piano lessons right now? Well, no. Well, then what you would love to do is be able to have the instantaneous ability to play the piano. But if you really would love to play the piano, you'd be taking lessons right now. See, there's an old saying that says, you are what you are because you want to be what you are. Otherwise, you'd be in the process of change right now. So I ask you, are you doing the work? Are you following Paul like we all say that we're following Paul? In Ephesians chapter 5, look at verse 15 through 17. The Bible says, "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." We're supposed to redeem the time. We're supposed to think about how we spend our time. Like, for instance, you know, Brother Steve, he spends a lot of time on Facebook. I mean, if I want to get a hold of him, I don't call him up. I don't text message him. I don't email him. I just put something on Facebook, and about 30 seconds later, my answer's right back. What about you? Are you redeeming the time that the Lord's given you? People always are telling you, we don't have time. Well, don't you have the same 24 hours that everybody else does? So you have the time, but are you making the time? See, things that are important you make time for, like being here. I knew 3 months ago I was going to make the time to be here. Unless somehow the Lord sent me a direct revelation, like my car blew up yesterday, let's say, then I would know I'm not supposed to be here. But I planned on being here. I wanted to get fed all this preaching. Okay? And we've got a lot more feeding to go. But I wanted to be able to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And hopefully that's why you're here. Look over to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. This is a very familiar passage. We all could quote it, I'll bet you. First Corinthians chapter 11. It says, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." Now that is written only to preachers. Right? That's only to all those pastors out here and Bible teachers. I find out that I'm like probably the only one in here who doesn't travel 15 hours to teach a Bible class. I just walk 300 feet from my trailer over to the church and I teach there. And I think, am I doing something wrong? I need to be expanding out or something. But we're supposed to be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. And that's every single person in this room. And all the people who weren't able to be here that are represented by these Bible classes and Bible preachers. So let's look at what Paul's focus was. Look over at Acts chapter 20. What was Paul's focus? Now, we know he did a lot of traveling. We know he did a lot of time on ships and on foot and probably on camel. Paul moved around a lot. But what was his focus? In Acts chapter 20, we're going to find Paul's focus. And if it's Paul's focus and we're supposed to be followers of me, then shouldn't it be our focus? Does that make sense? If we're supposed to follow Paul, and we're going to read right here in a second what Paul's focus was in his ministry, then that means that we're supposed to do this. In Acts chapter 20, look at verse 17. A little context here. "And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, Ye know from the first day that I came into Asia after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me." And look at verse 24 for Paul's focus. "But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to" what? "To testify the gospel of the grace of God." See, that was Paul's course. That was his ministry, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Well, if we're supposed to be followers of Paul, even as he also followed Christ, and he says that right here, he wanted to be able to finish his course with joy and the ministry, which was to testify the gospel of the grace of God. So I ask you, are you doing the work? Well, I'm not a preacher. Whoa, whoa, whoa. We just said that we're all supposed to be following Paul, right? So are you doing the work? Do you have your own ministry?
God didn't call me to preach, brother. Let's get off the subject.
No, God did call you to preach the gospel. Amen? God calls you to spread the gospel of the grace of God, to testify it. That's what all of us are supposed to be doing. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I'm hopefully going to give you some ideas about how you can spread the gospel of the grace of God. First Corinthians chapter 9. I love this passage because it just so uniquely says what it's saying. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, look at verse 22. The perfect Bible says, "To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I have made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Know ye not that they which run in a race, all but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain." See, second place is just the first loser. See, we want to be in first place. We want to be the one out there getting the gospel out. Paul says that he became all things to all men so that by my all means save all of them? Some. Paul became all to save some. Well, what does that mean? That means not everybody that you give the gospel to is going to accept it. As a matter of fact, most of them are going to reject it. Does that mean we quit? No. That means that most of the people that you show the King James Bible issue to are going to reject it. Does that mean we quit? That means that most people that you show dispensational truth to are going to thumb their nose at you and reject it. Does that mean we quit? You see, when I see the condition of the sinner, I can't quit. We have to get on the program, folks. Our job is to tell people about Jesus Christ and how He died on the cross for their sins. How He was buried and how He rose again the third day for their justification. That without Jesus Christ as their Savior, they're going to hell. And we know it. When you look at somebody, you see, we all do it. We all judge. I look at Jan. I say, okay, he probably used to have hair. But amen, he's a Roll Tide fan. Amen. See, we judge on the outside, don't we? Pastor Obed saw me in my jacket and he said, "Do I have to listen to you today?" And I said, "No, brother, maybe I was just cold." You see, we wear a jacket so you look like a preacher. But you know what? We're supposed to get the gospel out no matter what. What I've tried to train myself to do is I try to see somebody as a skeleton. When you look at somebody, I try and look at them as if they were a skeleton. And I wonder if that dead body is going to heaven or if that dead body is going to hell. And it doesn't matter what they dress like on the outside, does it? It matters what's inside their heart. Have they accepted Christ as their personal Savior? Or are they just plain religion? Or are they not even trying to attempt it? You know, some of the people that we think are lost are actually saved. And some of the people that we know are saved are actually lost. And all you have to do is ask them, "Are you saved?" They'll answer. Yes, no, or maybe. But they'll answer. See, Paul became all things to all men, they might by all means save some. That means I'm going to talk to 100 people and maybe one person would get saved. Would you say that would probably be a good average? I would say if you talk to 100 people about the plan of salvation and one person gets saved, then you're doing probably about normal. 1 out of 100. Well, that means 99 times they don't accept it. Well, you know that's 99 little seeds that you planted, didn't it? So you might be the one that wins them to the Lord, but in reality, maybe there was 15 other seeds planted over their lifetime. See, our job is to plant. Our job is not necessarily to be there making sure the plant grows, right? We have to keep doing our job, folks. You have to be about your Father's business. You have to keep on giving the gospel. What about passing out tracts? Do you have tracts with you? Are you carrying them on you? Do you have tracts in your car? So you can't pass out a tract unless you've got one, amen? Well, some of those tracts teach all sorts of lies. Well, don't buy those ones. You know? You got to be smart about it. Wise as a serpent, but gentle as a dove. You know the ones that I like are the Chick tracts. You ever heard of those? A guy named Jack Chick, who is a King James only, he puts out these little cartoon tracts about every single kind of subject under the sun. And what I've learned about that is that people will read them. And all I had to do was take one Sharpie marker on the last page, and where it says, after you get saved, where it says, be baptized, I just blacked it out. You can't see through it. No one, they knew it said something there, but they don't know what. And I go about my business. And it gives the clear presentation of the gospel, each and every one of these tracts. They have fun ones, they have scary ones, they have cute ones, they have love stories about how Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins while we are yet sinners. Christ died for us. Every kind of thing under the sun. Folks, do you have a ministry? Have you done something for the Lord today? I say that we're supposed to be out there doing the Lord's work. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 2. Now you might say, well, I'm too shy to pass out a tract. Folks, that's like getting salvation out, preaching the gospel for dummies is passing out a tract. That's easy. If you're inside the Walmart, I know nobody here shops at Walmart, right? We just have half of my salary just sent directly to Walmart. It saves on the checkout time. So, you know, you walk in and they go, Gilbert. Folks, when we go to Walmart, it's a very simple thing. As you're checking out, you say, here you go. Here's something for you to read when you get a chance. And they go, thank you. And they sit it down next to the register and they go on. Or we say, you know what? My wife loves doing this one. If they're friendly at Walmart, which, you know, doesn't always happen, but if they're especially friendly at a place, or if the waitress is especially good, somehow they've gone their extra mile trying to earn their tip, right? She'll say, you know what? I'll make you a deal. And they say, okay, what's that? I will go and talk to your manager and tell him what a fantastic job you're doing if you'll make me a promise. And they'll say, okay, what's the promise? That you make sure you read this today. Well, I'll do it. You promise? I promise I will read that. Folks, I'll bribe somebody to get saved any day. Oh, you tell them you're about to give them a tip. You were going to give them $10, let's say. You had a nice meal. You were going to give them $10. Still give them $10, but say, hey, I'll make you a deal. I'll give you this $10 if you promise you'll read this. What are they going to say? No. I don't think you should be forcing your religion on me. Obama would read it for $10. Come on. Folks, we're supposed to be out there testifying the gospel. That's what the book says. It says we're supposed to follow Paul. Paul was about his business of getting the ministry out, testifying the gospel, wasn't he? Look at 1 Timothy chapter 2. Look at verse 1. The Bible says, I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. And here's verse 4 through 6 I want to focus on. Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave Himself a ransom. Now look at the end of the verse. We read it so fast we don't catch it. Who gave Himself a ransom for all, comma, to be testified in due time. Folks, it's due time. This is not the time to pack up our tent and say, well, the whole world's going to hell. Folks, you can look at the economy and know that we're in trouble. You don't have to have a degree in politics. You just have to have a calculator. We're in trouble. And you know what? Romney's not going to fix it. Obama's not going to fix it. Well, we know that. No politician's going to fix it. But the Lord Jesus Christ can fix it through getting people saved. Folks, where it says right here that Jesus gave Himself a ransom, verse 6, for all. Why did He do that? To be testified in due time. If you don't think it's due time, something's wrong with you. If it was ever due time, it's now. Folks, the world is going to hell all around us, and we can beat our chest all day long and say, but I follow the truth. And if you don't tell anybody, what's it worth? See, you're going to make it to heaven, but I want those one out of 100s making it to heaven too. And you might say, well, that's not very good odds, one out of 100. Want to get better at praying? Maybe your odds will go up. Why don't you get better at testifying the gospel? Maybe your odds will go up. But I'm satisfied with 1 out of 100. One person gets saved, and all it took was me to pass out 100 tracts or give the gospel 100 times. And folks, if you pray for an open door, be careful. God will give it to you. And sometimes you'll go, are you sure, Lord? I just know this guy is going to get mad at me. Look how big he is. See, I'm just a little guy. And sometimes you witness to these big, giant, burly men and you're like, hey, I love Jesus, how about you?
What did you say?
You know, nothing. Folks, we have to be about our Father's business. Are you doing the work? Are you doing the work or are you just talking the game? See, it's easy to go to people that are within your same, you know, set of beliefs and say, amen, that was good preaching, loved it. I stand on the King James Bible, amen. I know we're supposed to follow Paul. Are you doing what Paul did? Look at Romans chapter 1. If you follow Paul, there's a certain there's different ways that you can get the gospel out. One of the ways, if you notice in the book of Acts, when you read that, Paul gave his personal testimony of how he got saved 3 different times. Well, I don't know how to do all this preaching stuff. Well, do you know how you got saved? Okay. Well, then tell somebody. Now, if you don't know how you got saved, go see a preacher quickly, because you're probably not. But if you're saved, you know how you got saved. And you know what I thank God for? I thank God for that old gray-haired Sunday school teacher who led me to the Lord when I was a little boy. I thank God that she was doing the work. You can be a man, woman, child. It doesn't matter. You can get the gospel out. You can be stuck in the hospital and have tracts next to your bed, and every 2 hours somebody's bothering you. And you say, here's something for you to read when you get a chance. Or you make him a deal. I'll let you take that blood if you promise you'll do one thing for me. Folks, bribery works. It works on your kids. You know it does. Also, you can know the simple gospel. earlier this week, I believe it was yesterday, Maine went through the four steps to getting saved through Romans Road. Romans 6:23 and 3:23 and 5:8, 10:9 and 10. Remember that? Well, you can memorize that. I teach a Bible study not far away. It was like a tenth of a mile from my house. So I do take the car. But I teach a Bible study over at this lady's house, and she said, "You know what? I so much want to lead somebody to the Lord." And I said, "Well, then do it!" And she said, "Oh, I don't know how!" I said, "Write these verses down." And I gave her the Romans Road. I said, "Okay, now I want you to put them on flashcards, and your homework this week is to memorize those word for word." I said, "Because not every time I witness do I have my Bible on me. But I can have those verses right there, and I can get it out." So you can give your testimony of how you got saved. You can give a simple plan of salvation. You can pass out tracts, but you have to have them. And folks, you can get the gospel out. Look at Romans chapter 1. Hopefully this is true of all of us. Verse 16. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Folks, all they have to do is trust the gospel, right, and get saved? They'll fix all sorts of other things in their life once they get the Holy Spirit. You don't have to clean them up to get them saved. Matter of fact, you're probably hurting them if you try and clean them up first, because they'll think that's part of their salvation. Just get them saved. Let the Holy Spirit indwell them, and then let them clean up their own life and to work out their own salvation with fear and trembling. It's not your job to clean up their life. It's your job to lead them to the Lord. Are you about your job? Are you doing it? Now, are you on the job and you're about to get fired? Or are you about to get a raise? Are you doing the job? You know, when I was a little boy, I got saved when I was about 9 years old. And at about 13, I was going to a church camp, and they were explaining to us about the rapture. I had never heard about this rapture thing. I thought it was a pretty good deal. And I remember asking the camp counselor, "Well, if our whole reason..." He said, "Your life is but a vapor." And he talked about James. And he said, "The whole reason why you're here on this earth..." That's okay. "The whole reason why you're here on this earth is to get saved, right? So that's your test." Oh, I'm sorry. "The whole reason why you're here is to get saved. That's the test." And then I asked him, "Well, then once I got saved, why am I still here? How come this rapture thing doesn't happen? Have you ever thought about that?" I have. I've thought about, why not, as someone gets saved, poof, they go up. Then somebody else over here could say, poof, they go up. Matter of fact, you would know they're saved because they, poof, went up. Why not individual raptures? I think that's a great idea. Wouldn't you think that'd be a great idea? I mean, we wouldn't have to live through all this mess. We wouldn't have to have these aches and pains. We wouldn't have to have all these bills that Jack's not paying. Or Jerry's not paying. We wouldn't have to have all this stuff going on. Individual raptures. I think we should ask the Lord about it. I think it's a great idea. But I asked him, I said, "How come that doesn't happen?" He said, "Because you've got work to do." And that was the first time I was ever exposed. "What do you mean I've got work to do?" He said, "You need to tell other people about how to get saved." And I said, "Oh, that's why he left us here." Man, he's smart. He's got a plan. Our job is to lead other people to the Lord. First off, is don't be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. You can pass out a tract. You can give your testimony. One last verse, 1 Corinthians 1:17. Do you realize that if every single... Let me ask you this question. Would every single person in this room, now that I've talked about this, would every single person in this room, if you will commit to this, raise your hand, okay? Would you commit to giving the gospel out whether it be by track or by personal testimony or by leading somebody to the Lord in the sense that you're saying the Bible verses word for word, would every single person who would raise their hand commit that they would do that at least twice a week? Please raise your hand. Just twice a week, you would pass out a track. Would everybody do that? Keep your hands raised up. Just twice a week, two times in 7 days. Okay? If every single person here, twice a week, gave out a track, we would pass out 500 tracks a week. Do you realize that's 2,200 tracks a month? Folks, that's 26,000 tracks a year. Now, we said one out of 100 gets saved. That would be 260 people getting saved every year because of you folks passing out two tracts a week. That means every single month there would be 26 new people coming to church because they just got saved. 21.8 people would be coming to church because they just got saved. Well, we'll average 22. In your community, pass out two tracts a week. And you would see 4 to 5 people every week showing up at church because they just got saved. That's how powerful it is, folks. In closing, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, a very popular verse. Let's look at verse 17. But I want to focus on the second half. It says, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect." See, you don't have to have the wisdom of words to preach the gospel. Paul said he wasn't even concerned about having the wisdom of words. You don't have to be a preacher. You just have to follow Paul. So I'm going to ask the same question I asked at the beginning. Is it just the preachers who are supposed to follow Paul? Who's supposed to be following Paul? Say, "I am." I am. Well, then do something for the ministry. Pass out a tract. You can get some tracts. There's tracts right there in the back. You can write your own tract. You can order them online. But folks, let's do something for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if you're saved today, you're going to heaven. But what about everybody else around you? Thank you for your time.